pray that this word that you have for us, that every single one of us, that we would receive it, we would run with it, and it would bear much fruit in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please have your seat. As you have your seat, just say something nice to the person next to you. Just welcome them into God's house. Amen. It's wonderful to see everybody in God's house. Welcome to God's house. Okay. So last week we looked at the topic. The message was on what love expects. Anybody remember? Anybody remember? Okay, this is very worrying. If you remember, can you just... Okay, I see a few hands. You know, the whole point of hearing messages, it's not just to hear it and do nothing with it. This year, we've said one of the words God has given us is that it's a year where there's a call to spiritual maturity. Now, spiritual maturity means I hear a message, I go back, I think about it, I meditate on it, I ponder on it, and I do it. So I really want to encourage us that we don't just hear the message and do nothing with it. So let's go and be doers of God's word. The Bible says that the person who's not a doer of the word, he's just deceiving himself, not deceiving God. So let's be doers of God's word. If you want to go back to a message, look at your notes for those who write. It's a great thing to write. If you don't write, you might want to listen to the podcasts on the websites or the apps. Please, let's be doers of God's word, and God will help us as we do that in Jesus' name. Okay, so last Sunday, I wanted to start with this. We had an outreach, which we had been announcing for a while, where we went to a residential home. And this residential home was for older people, and it was a Christian one. So the people that we fellowshipped with on Sunday, they were Christians. And it was amazing. I suspect that I speak for every one of us that went, that when we went praying that God would use us and that will be a blessing to the people that we were going to meet. But you know, the amazing thing is that we that went, we came back so blessed ourselves. And I wish I could have packaged what happened and brought it so that those who couldn't go could have been part of it. But I just want to mention this because it was very striking for me. One of the people that we spoke to, a 94-year-old woman, and what she said that having served God all her life and served God really well, so I believe that she walked with God, both walked for God and with God, both W-O-R-K and A-L-K. She said what is really hard for her now, 94, is not being able to do anything for God in that sense. And some of the brethren encouraged her that her prayers are doing much. But this woman was looking back, and this woman felt sad because she said she can't even kneel down anymore to pray. And you know what I want to encourage us is, you know, when we're worshiping and praising, we can all still do this. We can jump, we can kneel. While you can do these things, you know what? Go all out. But one thing I was really happy about, and I thought about what she said, and I reminisced on it, and I'm sure everybody that went did as well. She's looking back and she's saying, having served God so much, she now feels sad because she can't do those things anymore. Do you know there's some people that would look back and say, I didn't serve God when I was young, how I wish I had. So when we look back, we want to make sure that we've done the things God has asked us to do, that during worship, we don't stand like there's something wrong with our legs, you know, that we worship him with everything. I really want to encourage everybody, because there comes a time when you can't do these things anymore, and God would help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so today, our message has a very simple title, if you want to give it a title. And the title is simply, yes. If I get everybody to say that.
Yes.
We'll do it again. Yes. Okay, so that's the title of the message. And our main text is a single verse, which we'll all read together. It's Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We'll just wait for it to come up on the screen, and then we'll read it together. Ephesians 2, verse 10. If you don't know this verse by heart, I encourage you, make it a memory verse. It's an important verse to know. Okay, so here we go. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Let's say it together, please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I have a few other versions that I'm going to read here. In the NLT, says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." In the Amplified Version, it says, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us." So from this one verse, we see several things about ourselves. The first thing that we see is that we're his workmanship. A version says he's handiwork. A version says he's masterpiece. And I looked at some of these words and just to get a feel for what they mean, okay? So masterpiece, one definition says that a masterpiece is work done with extraordinary skill. So the person who's doing it has done it with extraordinary skill. That's a masterpiece. Another definition, and I love this definition, it says that a masterpiece is a person's greatest piece of work. So the greatest piece that a person puts together is their masterpiece. So masterpiece is not something that, you know, you just knock a few things together and say, oh, that's my masterpiece. No, you do it with extraordinary skill. You do it with care. You do it with love. It's a work of art. Handiwork is something that one has made or done, and workmanship is the degree of skill with which something is done. So you and I, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we're God's masterpieces, that we're his greatest work. And I want you to think about that for a moment. So this is God who created everything. God who created the earth, God who created the galaxies, the ones that we found, the ones that we haven't found. He created these extraordinary sights. If you're into astronomy, you see some of those sights and you just think, wow. Now, God created all that. And the Bible says, having looked at everything, all of that, what was his greatest piece of work? Look at the person next to you and have a look. Some of you are looking like you. Whether you believe it or not, this is it. God's greatest piece of work. We are his masterpieces. We are his masterpieces. What an amazing, amazing God. So in Genesis 1:1, it's interesting. Genesis 1 verses 1 to 25, the story of creation. We're not going to read it, but I'm sure we all know. In the beginning from verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and God started to create and to create all the way down to verse 25. And after God would create something, he would look at it, and the Bible would say that God saw that it was good, fantastic. And then something happened in verse 26. God says, "Let us make man in our own image." And then they talk about it in verse 26, 27, and you get to verse 31. And then God looks at everything that he has made. And so far, God has been saying it was good. God looks at everything. Now man has been made. And this time around, God looks at it and sees that it is very good. You know why the very was now there? The masterpiece had been done. So God sees it was very good, okay? So that's the first thing we see in that verse, where his masterpiece. The second thing that we see, it says, we were created in Christ Jesus. We were created in Christ Jesus. NLT says, we were created anew in Christ Jesus. And Amplified says, we were created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. Can somebody say ready to be used? So some masterpieces are just there for show, but this masterpiece that we are, we were created ready to be used. That's the second thing we see. Then the next thing that we see from that one verse, Ephesians 2:10, is that we see that we were created anew for good works. We were created anew for good works. There was a purpose. God had a purpose in mind. And the Bible says we were created anew for good works, and that these good works, they were prepared beforehand by God for us to walk in. W-A-L-K. So you and I were created for good works. When God was creating you, God had some particular things in mind. and we were created to walk in them. Walking talks about making progress. When I'm walking, I'm not standing still. I'm making progress. I'm walking in them. Okay? So you think about it. It says, we were created in Christ Jesus. It didn't say to be ridiculously wealthy. It could have. It didn't say we're created in Christ Jesus to be incredibly blessed. And we are blessed. But these are all things that are, you know, extra. But the main purpose, he said, you were created in Christ Jesus, created anew for anybody. I think we'll memorize that Ephesians 2:10 right now. Let's try it again. Why were you created from Ephesians 2:10? This is not the gospel according to Fumi. This is the Bible we're all reading together, right? Okay, so you were created for what? Say it like you're excited to be a masterpiece that was created for good works. Amazing. Maybe it's the word. You know, when we see work, but good works, there's good in front of it. It qualifies it. So we're created for good works. Now, what that means is that when God created me, when God created you, he had these good works in mind. And so everything about how I was designed, crafted, and wired was with those good works in mind. So I'm his masterpiece. But I'm not just a random masterpiece. God has particular assignments for me. And everything about how I was created, everything about how you were created, was with those good works in mind. So for instance, you might be introverted, you might be extroverted. Do you know what? God had your good works in mind when he created you. We have different talents, different giftings, different graces on our lives. But every single thing on the inside of you, God had those good works in mind when he was creating. And then you hear, so for instance, somebody said recently, and it was an interesting one, so somebody was talking about doing something in particular, a good thing, and the person said, doing that thing is incredibly difficult, very hard. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? Because actually that particular thing is so easy for me, right? But then that's because possibly for my good works, God has entwined that thing because my good works has to do with that. Now, that person that was talking, there would probably be stuff that he would say, oh, incredibly easy, I don't even have to think about it. And I would say, really? So that's why there's some things that might concern you, some things that might bug you, some things that need a solution. And for you, you don't understand why everybody else doesn't feel the passion or the way you feel about it. You were created for some specific good works. Everybody has their own assignments. And the way that we are wired is we're wired to be able to fulfill. So you're not, you know, sometimes when they develop stuff, so they might develop toys or books and they just do mass production and everything is the same and it's just mass. No, 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 God didn't do that. Every single one of us custom made for our good works, okay? And then that's why you see in Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30, Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30, and again, I encourage us to read it later, but I think we'll all probably know the story. But it's a story of the talents where God gives one 5, he gives one 2, he gives one 1. And the guy with 1 goes and hides his own, does nothing with it. The guy with 5 doubles it, it becomes 10. The guy with 2 doubles it, it becomes 4. You know, God did not judge or assess or recommend the one that ended up with 4 based on the one that had 10. Because that would be unfair. Everybody had a different starting point. Everybody had a different assignment. But everybody was recommended, or in the case of the one, judged based on what they had been given. And that is how life is. God has given each of us different talents, different graces, different gifts. And that's why in Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, walk worthy of the calling of God, that calling on your life. So we all need to walk worthy of our callings. And God would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that we need to walk in those good works. We need to make progress in those good works. And after God has made his masterpiece, his greatest piece ever, God forbid that that greatest piece should spend his or her life doing things that are not what he's been assigned to do. But that's the reality of many people. Even in Christendom, you have many people who are not walking the path. That verse says that he has prepared beforehand those good works. So God has a path for each and every one of us. I'm not just supposed to go haphazardly through life and wherever life lands me, I just, you know, haphazardly. No, There's a plan, and the Bible tells me that it was prepared beforehand, and we need to walk in it. So many people never fully understand or know that they're God's masterpieces. If I'm God's masterpiece, if you're God's masterpiece, in our lives we can't call the shots. God has created you, designed you for a purpose, and I need to get instructions and directions from my maker. Then many people also never discover their purpose. What are those good works which God has assigned for you to do? God, what are they? Where are they? But to fulfill your purpose, to be everything God has called you to be, to maximize this masterpiece that God has made, you have to know who you are, and you have to know your purpose, your why. And we truly need to discover it. And my prayer is that for every single one of us, that none of us will go through life not fulfilling our purpose. None of us will go through life missing our assignments in Jesus' name. So the question for us this morning is, how do I make sure that by God's grace, I walk in the good works that God has proposed beforehand for me to? And the first thing is that I need to discover who I truly am. I need to discover who I truly am. I need to discover it, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. This is who God says that I am. We see many examples in the Bible. We all know Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, he discovered his purpose. God said that before you were in your mother's womb, I called you as a prophet to the nations. Paul, he discovered his purpose, an apostle. Paul was a funny one. In Paul, you see him in all his letters. He would say who God says he is, called an apostle. He was very clear on his purpose. And there was a time when they were having a bit of divisions in the Corinthian church, and they were saying, oh, I'm for Apollo, I'm for Paul, and all that, in 1 Corinthians 1. And then in verse 17, Paul says something that to me is so, it's almost funny. Paul says, God did not call me to be baptizing, because some were saying, oh, this person baptized me, so I'm for that person, and so on. So Paul was like, he only baptized, and then he mentioned a few people and said, God didn't call me to be baptizing. God called me to preach the gospel. Very clear on his purpose. Now, is baptizing a bad thing? We know that somebody has to baptize, right? Baptizing is not a bad thing, but he knew what he was called to do. It's like the apostles in the book of Acts, the early church, when there were issues between the different divisions, and the apostles said they had to stick with their calling, with the praying and the sharing of the word, and then they got deacons to help with that sharing. And you know the deacons that they got, you know what the Bible says about them? They were full of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't as if they just said, oh, this is menial walk, we just need, no, they needed people that were spirit-filled and all that, but they needed people to walk in their calling. My prayer for yourself, my prayer for myself is that God would open our eyes to our callings, to our assignments, and God would give us the grace to say, yes, thank you. Thank you, Kay. God would give us the grace to say yes. You know, sometimes I think, would it not be easier if we didn't have the option and we were like robots and God just says, for me, this is what I designed you to be, masterpiece, you're going to do it. And I'm just like, yes, Lord, and I didn't have a choice. Sometimes I think, actually, it might be easier. But because God loves us so much, he made us like himself, so we have the choice. Paul could have said, yes, on the road to Damascus, this happened and all that, but I'm not going to follow. Jeremiah could have said, oh, great, before I was, but actually I have choices here. I'm not going to say yes. Isaiah in Isaiah 49, the Bible tells us how from his mother's womb he was called as well. But you know, Isaiah, there had to come a time when Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So there comes a time when we have to say yes. And sometimes we say yes, but we don't say it from deep within us. But I pray that today that we will all fully and truly say yes in Jesus' name. So number one, you have to discover who you are, your who. You have to discover who you are. Many people, other examples in the Bible, we have Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. Do you know Barnabas could have gone through his whole life and never encouraged anyone? There might be some of us that who you are is you're an encourager, but you're encouraging nobody because you don't know who you are. We see the example of Dorcas. Dorcas was a helper. I believe that woman had the gifts of help. Now, instead of helping the widows and helping and doing clothes and all that for them, she could have said, actually, the apostles get more, they get more credit and they get more appreciation. So actually, I'm not going to do helps. You know what? I'm going to be preaching every Sunday, right? And she could have preached and people could have given their lives and all that. But would she have been walking in her calling? No. When she died, who were the people that were saying, no, this woman can't go like that? The guys that she had helped because she had been walking in her calling. I pray that we wouldn't miss our assignments in Jesus' name. So know your who, know your who. And to know your who, go back to the manufacturer, the maker of the masterpiece. Secondly, you need to understand your why. Your why is, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my assignment? What are the good works that God has prepared for me to do? If you don't do that, if you don't discover your why, the odds are that you're going to waste your life. You're going to waste the masterpiece that God has created. Now, everybody else might think you're a success. So, for instance, somebody was telling me, and some of you might have watched it. I haven't seen it. If anyone has it, I would love to see it. Please send it to me. But apparently there was a video clip that people were sending around where they had a little drama sketch where somebody says, and I can't remember what the different roles were, but I'll just make it up. So somebody says, oh, they've now come to the beautiful, they've come to the heaven's gate, and God's going to welcome them or not. And one says, do you know, I was an evangelist. I went all over preaching for you and this and that. And God says, no, you haven't done your assignment. You were supposed to be an accountant. Somebody else comes and says, oh, I was an accountant. You know, I was amazing at my workplace. You were supposed to be an evangelist. We need to discover our who and our why. I pray that none of us would miss it. I mean, after having done everything, to then find out that actually that's not what you were wired to do, I pray that that will not be our stories in Jesus' name. Because what matters at the end of the day is not the applause of man. Man can applaud and say you're doing fantastically well, and maybe you are. But if you're not doing what God has called you to be, God is looking down, and it's a waste. I pray that when God looks down at us, he'll be rejoicing over us with singing in Jesus' name. So we have to spend our lives making progress on the things that God has called us to. If I spend my life making progress on other things that are not my assignment, I am wasting my life. I am wasting that masterpiece of God. And it's a tragedy. So there are many people that the enemy has deceived into spending their lives, and in the church as well, spending their lives on all sorts. So chasing career, the big house, the cars, the blessings, the this and the that. And God is looking and saying, son, daughter, that is not what I've called you. Now, we can't be like the world. The world chases all these things. We have to be different. So careers and all that, they're not bad. But God might call you into a certain line. And God wants you to excel in that line. Why? So that you can be light. And so that people can see your good works and glorify God. So that people can be drawn to God. Now, if God, so say for instance, say I'm a medical doctor, I'm not. But say I were, and I'm doing incredibly well, and I'm world renowned and all that. Now, the reason why I'm a masterpiece was not just so people can be applauding and saying this for me is too amazing. It's to point people to God. Now, if the world is applauding, I'm doing incredibly well, shining in that sense, but I'm not pointing people to God, I have failed in my assignment, right? So you go to school and you want to come out with a first class, and it's amazing to come out with a first class, and God's will for you is that you succeed, that you do well. But why? So that we point people to who? To God. If we're not doing that, there's a problem. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. And we need to clear up the confusion, and God would help us in Jesus' name. Someone might be in a totally different line or a different area or chasing after things that God has not assigned to them. I pray that today there will be an opening of the eye. You know, there's something that the Holy Spirit can do sometimes where he's speaking to you gently, gently, and you're not answering. But it's a great thing. It's a loving thing for God to shake your nest. You know, to shake things around you until you can't but respond. But it's easier if we just hear the gentle voice and just obey. But my prayer is that if we're struggling with obeying his gentle voice, my prayer for myself and for everyone here is that God would shake our nest. Because it's better that there's a shaking and we rectify than that we go through the whole of life and at the end of it, we find out that we were running a race that wasn't ours. God forbid, that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So what happens when a person doesn't discover, as in truly discover, their who and their why? You know, one of the things that happens is that they're easily deceived. very easily deceived. And the enemy is out there just looking for who to devour, who to deceive, who to keep busy doing the wrong things. And a classic example is the very first deception that we see in the Bible. And I want us to look at that for a few minutes. So the deception, I call it the great con, when the devil went and deceived Eve. We're going to read Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5. Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5, the great con. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes would be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So I encourage you to go back and read this whole story, the whole of Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. There are many lessons there, but we'll just pull out a few in relation to yesterday. So first of all, Eve is having this conversation with the serpent, and Eve even adds a little extra when she says that we can't even touch it. God didn't actually say that. If you go to Genesis 2, God said they shouldn't eat it, they would die, but he didn't say they couldn't touch it. But she's having this conversation, and the serpent says to her, verse 4, part of it again, "You will not surely die." And then he says in verse 5 that God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes would be opened, and you would be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the first con, the first deception, Eve didn't truly know who she was. Do you know why I say that? The devil comes and says, "You would be like God." If she knew who she was, alarm bells would be ringing in her mind. What do you mean, "I would be like God"? What did God do? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." She was already like God. So he goes, "You would be like God." And then he goes, "You would know the difference between knowing good and evil." It's interesting. At that point in time, Eve already knew good. How do I know she knew good? Let's read the next verse, verse 6. Verse 6 of Genesis 3. She hasn't eaten the fruit yet. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was..." Are we still here? "So when the woman saw that the tree was..." She saw, like God did, and God was seeing things that were good. She looked at that tree. She hasn't eaten the fruit yet. And what did she know? She knew that it was good. She didn't need to eat that fruit to know it was good. A great con. Not only did she see that it was good, she saw it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she could tell good. I'll give you another example how we know that they knew good before then. In Genesis 2, when Adam, before Eve came, and God brought all the animals before Adam. And what did Adam do? He named them. He named them, named them. At the end of all the naming of all the animals, what does the Bible say? The Bible says there wasn't a helpmate comparable found, right? So God puts him to sleep and God brings Eve. And when God brings Eve, Adam opens his eyes. And what did Adam see? Ah, he saw a good thing. How do I know? Verses 23 of Genesis 2 says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones." It's almost like, ah, God, now you're talking. You've brought me something good. He could tell good. But when they then went ahead, they ate the apple, they were deceived. What happened was that Eve's eyes, yes, it was open. Suddenly they saw that they were naked. But verses chapter 2 ends by telling us that they were naked and they were not ashamed. What happened before they ate that fruit that they shouldn't have eaten is they were tuned towards good. They couldn't feel the negative and the evil things. They were tuned towards good. So being naked wasn't a big deal. But soon, immediately after they eat that apple, suddenly they're not just tuned towards good anymore, but they're tuned towards evil as well. That's when they started to feel emotions like fear. He said, "I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid." That's when they were starting to feel shame. That's when in Genesis 4, their son could feel angry and have murderous thoughts towards his brother. But without eating all that, because she didn't know her who and her why wasn't to be tuned towards evil. To fulfill her why, she needed to be tuned towards good. She needed to be in that garden, to fellowship with God, to be with her husband, to be a helpmate. Now, because she was deceived, what happened to her was not understanding her who and her why. It cost her. because she ended up with what had she known, she wouldn't have touched, she wouldn't have gone there. And that's what happens a lot of the time. Because people don't know their who and their why, the enemy comes and deceives, and people spend their whole lives chasing things that is not them, chasing things that God has not called them to. I pray for yourself, I pray for myself, that God would help us, that we would not be deceived, and that if we are currently deceived, that there will be a turnaround and opening of our eyes in Jesus' name. But you have a choice to make. You have to decide if you're going to fully and truly say yes. Now, there's no one who goes to God who fully and truly says yes, and God would not show, God would not speak to. So I pray that really from the depths of our hearts, sometimes saying yes to God, almost all the time, it would disrupt your plans. It would mean that there's going to be a shift, there's going to be a change, but that's the best thing that you can do, because you're his masterpiece. All this talents, all this gifting placed inside you for a particular purpose, God forbid that you miss that in Jesus' name. The parable of the talents, it's interesting in that parable that the two who used their talents, they fully used their talents. One took all five. He didn't take two, and part of two became two, and then he hid three. He used all five. The other guy, too, he used all two. And the one who didn't use his, fully didn't use his. Now, God is not looking for people who would partially say yes. God is looking for people who would fully say yes. God is not looking for part-time Christians where, okay, God, I would choose the area of career and this and that, and I'll leave you a bit to choose this area. No, God is not looking for Sunday Christians where on Sunday I'm on point with that thing that looks like what God is asking me to do, but the rest of the week is mine. No, God is looking for people who would fully say yes and fully surrender. Revelations 3:16, this is God speaking. It says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God is looking for people that are fully hot. You use all the talents. You walk the walk he's placed before you, or you don't at all. My prayer is that we'll all be among the hot in Jesus' name. But ultimately, it is your decision. It is your decision whether to say yes or not. So we're going to conclude now. But as we conclude, the choir is going to be singing a song, and I want us to really key into that song. And as the song is sang, I want you to pray. I want you to worship. I want you to speak to your Father. And if what you want to say to him is, Lord, I want to fully say yes, I want you to fully say that yes. And God would help us to really go all out and walk in that path that he set before us. My prayer is that none of us would miss him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. I believe we've all heard the message ourselves, and we can reflect on what God has called us to do and why we're here. And I don't know how many of us are ready to say yes. I would run this race. I would follow the path that you've set for me. You know, yes might not be easy. It might cost you. But are you ready to say yes?
Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah. told you what he really needs from you. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Yes. Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you deep. So will your heart and soul say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? To your will and to your way, Jesus. Will your spirit still say yes? Even if it's gonna cost you. If I told you what I really need, your time, your money, your relationship, will your heart and soul say yes? Just say yes. Open up your eyes, yes. And tell the Lord yes, yes. Just say yes, yes. What is said to you and just say yes. Think about the vision and just say yes. Your worship without obedience is nothing. God is calling you high. He's calling you deep. He's created you for more than you do. God says, there is more that I require of thee. He says, there is more that I require of thee. He
He's calling you higher. He's calling you higher. There is more.
There is more that I require of thee.
He's calling you out of your comfort zone. He's calling you and he's shaking you this morning.
There is more that I require of thee.
Says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid.
There is more that I require of thee.
He's calling you out of your dry places. He's calling you out of your dry places.
There is more that I require of thee.
He's calling you to declare his glory, to do his will, to do his will.
There is more that I require of thee.
I don't know how many of you is like me this morning and you've thought it through and you want to say yes. We'll just sing yes one more time, and with your hands lifted up and your heart tuned with God, begin to say yes. It might not be comfortable, but I'm saying yes, Jesus. I don't know which way to go, but I'm saying yes, Jesus. I'm in the valley right now, but I choose to say yes, Jesus. I don't understand what you are doing, but I choose to say Jesus. I choose to say yes, Jesus. We choose yes. We choose yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes.
To Jesus, the very first yes is, Lord, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. I recognize that I'm your masterpiece and I just want to give you my life. I repent of all my wrongdoings and I just want to give you my life. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to put your hands up to God, and God would welcome you into his family. Jesus would come and live in you, and that would be your very first yes, your most important yes. So if there's anyone like that, I encourage you to lift up your hands to God. Also, you might be here and you know that when it comes to walking in the good works that God has called you to, you know that you've so missed it. You know you're so far off track, but you want to get back on track. You want to say yes with all of your heart, with all of your spirit, with your mind. If that's you, I want to encourage you as well. I want to encourage you to just stand and we'll pray together. We'll pray for the strength to get back on track. We'll pray for the clarity of purpose to walk the race he set before you. If that's you, I encourage you just rise to your feet and we'll pray together. Somebody here might need to rededicate their life to Jesus as well. You've given your life to Christ, but you're not living as you should and you know it. But you want there to be a change from today. If that's you, I just encourage you. For some of us, it's not that we don't want to say yes. It's not that we don't want to walk the paths he's placed before us. But there's so many things holding us back. There's fear. There's the situations around us. If that's you, God wants to set you free as well. I just encourage you to rise to your feet so we can pray together. There might be people here who want somebody to agree with them in prayer, to actually hold hands with them and agree with them in prayer. If that is you, please come to the front. and a minister, a pastor would agree with you and pray with you. You know, in the presence of God, there's deliverance. In the presence of God, there's pleasure forevermore. In the presence of God, what God does is he does a recalibration. And I believe that what God wants to do in a life or two today is recalibrate, get you back on track. But it starts with you. It starts with you saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So if that's you in any of those categories, I encourage you, rise to your feet. If you want agreement in prayer, please come to the front and we'll pray together.
Do you want?
Heavenly Father, we confess that truly our lives are not our own. We rejoice that truly we're your masterpieces. How precious is your masterpiece? No amount can buy a single one of us your masterpieces. How precious are we? When a price was going to be placed on us, it was the blood of Jesus, because we are priceless. Father, we repent of the times that we've been doing things our own way. But we stand today, we kneel, we sit before you, Father. And we say, Father, we rededicate our lives to you. Father, I pray for everyone who has stood up saying, Father, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to get back on track. I want to get back in those paths, those good works that you've prepared beforehand for me to walk in. Father, I pray that strength from above and grace, divine grace, to stay on track, that you would grant to us in the name of Jesus.